Part 2 of Brief Encounter by Wendy Richards and Yvonne Connell. Rated PG-13. Submitted April 2000. Read by Cheryl Rowe. Watching him with trepidation, she saw his brown eyes widen and his gaze fix on her face. Shock or delight? A rush of emotion overwhelmed her again. She loved this man so much, and had let his guard down with her so much over the past half hour. Suddenly, she felt able to do what she would have been too nervous to do at any other time. She slid closer to him, letting go of his hand so that she could wrap her arms around his neck, pulling his head down to hers, and she kissed him. For a brief instant, he froze, and she thought it had all been a dreadful mistake. He hadn't wanted her to kiss him. He didn't care for her the way she did about him. She was being too pushy. She was embarrassing him. But then his arms came gently around her waist, supporting her against him, and his lips softened under hers as he returned the kiss. Her lips parted under the pressure of his, and daringly she allowed her tongue to dart forward, touching the corner of his mouth lightly. He uttered some sort of sound deep in his throat and tightened his grasp on her a little, and a frisson of shock shot through her as she realized that his own tongue was feeling its way awkwardly into her mouth. She parted her lips further to allow him greater access, sliding one hand up into his hair. It was much softer than she'd imagined. As the kiss deepened, he seemed to find their respective positions on the sofa rather awkward, for his hands gripped her waist lightly but firmly, and he lifted her up to pull her over onto his lap. She hadn't been expecting his movement, and flailed wildly in mid-air for a moment before trying to steady herself with a grab at his chest. Surprisingly, she caught him unaware, and he tumbled back into the cushions with her falling on top of him, ending up lying in his lap with her face inches from his. "Oh, I'm sorry, she muttered, embarrassed, as she shifted awkwardly against his legs, putting one hand on his knee to try and pull herself back up again. "It's okay, it was my fault, he stammered out, his hands reaching around her to help her up. One hand caught the side of her breast, and she exhaled sharply at the sensation. He stilled, and as her head jerked up, she saw the expression on his face. Almost deer in the headlights, his eyes were focused on her chest to be precise. Given her position on top of him as he lay semi-recumbent on the couch, his position afforded him a view straight down the neckline of her blouse. Her open-neck blouse. Was she wearing a bra? She struggled for a moment to think clearly. Yes, she could feel it. A creamy lace piece of nothing. The expression in his eyes changed as she watched him in breathless fascination. She saw his pupils widen and heard his breathing grow harsher. He was by no means indifferent to her. Made more daring by this realization, she gave up her struggle to sit up, relaxed back against his legs, and pulled his face down towards her again. This time he met her halfway, and his kiss was utterly devastating. His hand came over again and hesitantly stroked the side of her breast before becoming more daring and cupping it in his hand while caressing her lips with his own, his tongue now confidently exploring inside her mouth. She was rifling her hands through his hair, fascinated by the unexpected softness she found there, when he broke away and gazed intently down at her. "Is this okay, Lois?" "Superman, I kissed you first," she reminded him, touched by his uncertain tenderness. "I know, but I thought, don't think." She reached up a hand to smooth over his t-shirt-clad chest. "Just feel." He groaned softly before reaching back down to meet her lips once more, his hand tracing the contour of her side down to her waist, where it rested lightly while he concentrated on the kiss. After a few moments, he pulled away again. "Do you mind?" He lifted his feet off the floor as a prelude to lying full length on the sofa. "This is a bit awkward." "Oh, sure." With the minimum of fuss, they rearranged themselves on the sofa so that he was lying with his head resting on one arm of the sofa with her on top of him. Lois couldn't believe how far they'd come in such a short time. But somehow, the past half hour or so had broken down the barriers between them, at least it had for her, so that she no longer felt awkward being this close to him, and felt a new familiarity with him, which let her relax and allow her to treat him as a true equal. She dipped down to kiss him again. Clark's head was whirling with heady emotion. His dream of holding Lois close to him had suddenly and unexpectedly come true, and in the most peculiar circumstances. He would never have thought that crashing to earth and losing all his clothes in the process would have led to this. But he didn't care. She had told him she loved him, and she was already demonstrating her feelings to him in the most wonderful way possible. Her kisses fogged his brain and left him oblivious to anything but the feel of her body resting over his, the caress of her soft breasts against his chest, and the smell of her sweet floral perfume. He stroked up and down her back, marveling at how slender and fragile she felt, yet at the same time so strong and sure in her movements. Now she was staring down at him, supporting herself on her hands on either side of him. "Did I say I think I love you, Superman?" she asked with a smile. He nodded. "Well, I was wrong. I know I love you, Superman." There it was. The one thing wrong with this scenario. The one thing he'd been ignoring up until now. He was Superman, not Clark, right now. And that wasn't really the dream he'd treasured for so long. His hand stilled on her back. She frowned a little at him, noticing his faltering caresses. "What, did I say something wrong?" "No, nothing. Good." All coherent thought fled from him again as she yanked his T-shirt free from his jeans with one hand and reached up inside to explore his chest, eliciting a quick intake of breath from him when her palm passed over one of his nipples. An eyebrow went up. "You like that?" He was helpless, gazing at her in dumb assent. "Then you'll probably like this." She pushed his T-shirt further up and leaned down to kiss his chest. He closed his eyes to lose himself in the sensation, stunned at the reaction his body had to her intimate attentions. "In fact," she continued after a time, "why don't we just get rid of this?" She pulled on his T-shirt, and he helped her by straightening out his arms. She had to lean over him to get the garment off him. And once it was discarded, he surprised himself with his forwardness by lifting his head up to touch his lips to the gap at her neckline. She froze in position at his touch, and for a moment he thought he'd gone too far. He let go, but then a hand came behind his head to pull him urgently back to her, encouraging him to continue with the impulsive move. He soon brought his hands up to start undoing the buttons of her blouse. Two buttons later, and suddenly, he was apparently too slow for her. She pulled away, yanking the blouse over her head. His heart was thudding in his chest as he gazed at her before reaching out to touch her. He had come this far once or twice with other women, but with Lois it was on a whole new plane of excitement. Her actions were so generous and sensuous, assured without being rushed, but always with a thrilling undercurrent of electricity. Above all, it was different simply because this was Lois Lane, the woman he knew he loved with all his heart. His heart was thudding in his chest as he gazed at her before reaching out to touch her. He had come this far once or twice with other women, but with Lois it was on a whole new plane of experience. Her actions were so generous and sensuous, assured without being rushed, but always with a thrilling undercurrent of electricity. Above all, it was different simply because this was Lois Lane, the woman he knew he loved with all his heart. It was too much to resist. He focused his attention on touching her, caressing her with his lips and hands, Lois clearly welcoming his touch. "Superman," she breathed. There it was again. This was wrong. He couldn't do this with her without her knowing who he really was. It was dishonest and selfish of him to indulge his own fantasies when she didn't know who she was making love to. It would be little more than him merely using her for his own pleasure, and he would never, could never, do that to Lois. Reluctantly, he straightened up to face her, resting his hands lightly at her waist. "Lois, what's the matter? Am I going too fast for you?" She smiled at the improbable assertion that she, Lois Lane, could be too fast for Superman. "No, I..." He blinked when she dove forward and kissed him hard on the lips, fogging his brain once more with her infectious passion. His resolve leached away from him again, and he melted back down onto the sofa, taking her with him, so that they were once more lying one atop the other, this time flesh pressed against sensitive flesh as the kiss went on and on. Now he was definitely taking a step into the unknown. She returned for a brief yet fierce kiss, and then withdrew so that she could tug off her remaining clothing. She smiled down at him, an easy, content smile, and his heart swelled with happiness that she trusted him so implicitly, that she was being so frank with him, and how natural it felt to be with her like this. Suddenly, as she began to pull at his own clothes, his conscience gave him a sharp stab in the ribs. "Lois," he began, trying to ignore the pounding in his head, the sheer delight of being with her like this. "Lois," he repeated softly, placing his hand over hers to stop her caresses. She transferred her gaze to his face. "What?" "There's something I have to tell you."
"Now? It can't wait?"
"No, I have to tell you now," he said, hoping he was managing to show the regret he was feeling, despite the lust roaring through his body. "I'm sorry."
"Sorry? What about?"
She frowned down at him.
Clark and I, we...
"Yes?"
"Come on, Superman, you can tell me."
"It's okay." Her frown belied her assurance, however. Clark drew in a deep breath. "I don't have any condoms."
"Coward, coward, coward," he told himself instantly. What the hell had gone wrong with his brain-to-mouth communication there?
He knew he was sure that his head had directed his lips to form the words, "I am Clark, Lois," but somehow between his brain cells and his vocal cords, the words had changed. "I don't have any condoms?" What on earth was he thinking of?
Well, he didn't, he rationalized to himself, dwelling for a moment on the fact that he'd never before needed them. Never even believed that maybe, someday, after all, he was different. Not human. And who knew whether it was even safe for an Earthwoman to make love with him?
But Lois was now staring at him, her mouth open in a soft, round O.
"Condoms! Oh, God, I never thought. And I'm not even on the pill. I came off that ages ago. I didn't like the side effects. I guess you wouldn't really want to take the chance that I might get him
pregnant?" He finished for her, his voice a whisper. Oh, if that was possible. Suddenly an image flashed into his mind of Lois holding a baby, a beautiful little girl with her eyes and hair, and his genes, his powers. But who knew whether that was even possible, or what might result if he impregnated Lois? Would the result be normal, or some sort of dreadful mutant crypto-human? There was no way he would take that risk. Lois was breathing heavily, and the expression on her face suggested that the interruption had left her very frustrated indeed. She raised her gaze to his again, and he could see the latent passion in her eyes.
"Superman, I don't suppose Clark would...
I mean, in his bathroom cabinet or anything." Clark shuddered. If he said no, she'd wonder how he knew. If he got up and looked, well, wouldn't that just be prolonging the deception and making it more deliberate? But Lois seemed to note his expression and put her own interpretation on it. "I guess you wouldn't want to go and look. I mean, it'd be kind of an invasion of his privacy, wouldn't it?" Clark flushed again. It was from guilt, but Lois again misinterpreted it.
"Oh, God, Superman, I've just realized that's exactly what we've been doing. I mean, we're making out on Clark's couch. We almost made love on Clark's couch. What would he think if he..."
She broke off suddenly, blushing scarlet. "What if he walked in right now?" How could he get himself out of this? Clark asked himself, feeling increasingly desperate.
"Lois, it's okay. Clark won't..." "But I don't know where he is, and you didn't either," she reminded him. "And look, maybe it'd be better if we took this to my place."
"How about you fly us there?" she asked him with a mischievous grin, her embarrassment forgotten. "And maybe you could stop at a drugstore on the way back?"
He could, he supposed, and as she wriggled on his lap, he desperately wanted to do just that.
"Lois," he groaned as she pressed against a particularly sensitive part of him.
"Or I've just thought," she said to him, "can you use condoms? I mean, you're so strong, wouldn't they break?"
He blushed furiously. I have no idea, Lois." She stared at him.
"Haven't you ever?" "Oh, God, you haven't."
She clapped a hand over her mouth, causing her breast to swing in front of him yet again.
Her expression also caused him to feel hot all over again, since it held a mixture of awe and disbelief. She was pleased that he was a virgin. Without stopping to think, he reached out to touch her with one hand again. He looked down at her for a moment, barely able to believe that he was doing this, and doing it with Lois. Then he raised his gaze and caught her staring at him, the tip of her tongue visible at the corner of her mouth. He leaned forward and seized her lips with his again in a fierce, passionate kiss. He wanted, needed to make love to her, to give them both what they so badly wanted, but she tore her mouth from his. "Superman, Superman, take me home. Take us home, please." He made his decision on the spur of the moment. "Lois, we are home," he told her quietly, humbly. She gazed back at him, eyebrows furrowed, clearly not understanding. "My home," he told her. She shook her head in confusion. "Do you mean you live here with Clark or something?" He wrapped his arms around her, drawing her head onto his shoulder and burying his face in her hair. "No, I live here, alone." She didn't reply, and the stillness of her body suggested that she was still baffled. "Me, Clark," he murmured at last, and waited for the explosion. She pulled back from him, staring at his face. Her hands pulled at his hair, ruffling it and dragging strands down over his forehead. "My God, do you mean..." "I was right the first time. When I saw you, you were Clark. But you were just pretending to be Superman? I don't believe you. Think..." She stopped abruptly, seemingly too shocked to move, but continued to stare at him. Then she spoke again, muttering agitatedly to herself. "No, you can't have been Clark. You flew me up to that washing line, and Clark can't fly." "I can," he told her quietly. The expression of shock seemed to be frozen on her face, as she simply continued to stare at him. He felt his desire subside, as it was obvious that any lovemaking was now definitely not going to happen. He wondered whether she'd hit him if he tried to put his T-shirt on. Did he need to explain further? Possibly. "Lois, I am Clark, and I am Superman. There aren't two of us." There never were. He watched in horror and disbelief as she began to cry. Lois let the tears run unheeded down her cheeks, feeling utterly devastated and desolate. How could he do this to her? Things had been so beautiful, so wonderful with him, and now he had to go and ruin it all by telling her he was Clark and Superman. Her perfect dream was shattered. She'd been so bold with him, initiating their lovemaking, pushing things forward each time he seemed to falter, wanting so desperately for it to happen. All the time, she'd pressed herself on to more and more brazen behavior, moving much faster than she normally would have, because she loved him and wanted him so much. What was the result? She had made a fool of herself. She declared she loved him, done a virtual striptease in front of him, and was now sitting astride a man she didn't even know, with no clothes on. With a cry of anguish, she scrambled off him, grabbed her jeans and blouse up from the floor, and scuttled over to an armchair, where she did her best to cover herself up with the clothes without even taking the time to dress herself properly. Huddled in the chair, she stared resolutely at the carpet, desperately trying to pretend he wasn't even in the room with her. "Lois, I'm so, so sorry. That was unforgivable of me. I should never have let things get this far without telling you." She heard the words but discarded them. Why did things like this have to happen to her? Everyone else got to have perfectly normal relationships where they met, fell in love with one person, and spent the rest of their lives together in blissful harmony. But she ended up with two men who confused the hell out of her and then completely threw her world upside down by telling her that actually they were both the same person. Confused? She was a total mess, a mess with no relationship whatsoever, and definitely no blissful harmony, more like miserable chaos. "Lois, please talk to me." Talk to him? Talk to whom? Clark or Superman? Neither of them were here anymore, and instead she had this weird hybrid person she was supposed to make conversation with, as if it was the most normal thing in the world to talk to someone who had just told you he was two people. Well, she supposed, maybe it was normal for her. She seemed to attract these crazy wacko types like bees to a honeypot. There must be something wrong with her, she decided. Maybe she had the wrong pheromones or something. Do you want me to leave? Now he wanted her to make decisions, as well as make polite conversation. She didn't want to make decisions. She just wanted to shrivel away into a little dot and make the craziness stop. Not to mention the acute embarrassment of sitting here with only a cushion, a bunched-up pair of jeans, and a precariously placed blouse to cover her up. Anyway, she was a honeypot with the wrong pheromones, and how could a honeypot be expected to make decisions? Lois, I really don't want to leave you when you're this upset, but if that's what you prefer, I'll go. Just nod if that's what you want. She nodded furiously, then changed her mind and shook her head quickly, before breaking into a fresh bout of sobs. Lois, I'm not sure what you meant by that. Neither was she. I'm a honeypot, she wailed miserably. I'm a honeypot, she repeated. I attract the wrong bees, because I've got the wrong pheromones, and then the bees aren't who they say they are, and then they all gang up on me like one big gigantic bee, and then I get stung. I'm not sure. Who are you? She threw at him suddenly. I'm Clark, Lois, the guy you work with at the Daily Planet. No, you're not. You told me you were Superman. I know. Lois, I don't know what to say to you. Makes two of us, then, she snapped. She heard him stand up. I'm going to go into the bedroom so you can... Fine, she muttered. She waited until she was absolutely sure that he was out of the way before standing up, still clutching as much of her cover-up to her as she could, and retrieved her underwear from the sofa and the floor. Picking it up like this, strewn about the room, reminded her of her crazy abandonment and how embarrassing lascivious she'd been with him. What had she been thinking? Glancing around to make absolutely sure he wasn't around, she hurriedly pulled her underwear back on and got dressed properly. Of course, if he wanted to, he could probably see anything he wanted through the walls. But he wouldn't do that. He might be guilty of lots of things, but invading someone's privacy like that wasn't one of them. For a moment, she considered making a quick exit, right there and then. She could run away from this, convince herself it never happened, or at least forget it for a while, and get back to some semblance of normality. Except that it did happen, and she'd have to face him tomorrow and every other day of the week at the planet. Which would be worse? Dealing with it now, or trying to avoid him the rest of her life. She slumped back down in the armchair to await his return. Clark sat on his bed with his head in his hands. What had he done? Well, he knew what he'd done. He'd hurt Lois, and that was the one thing he'd never intended to do. In fact, he didn't even think he was capable of hurting her. It was so much anathema to him. But apparently he was. He'd hurt the only woman he loved, and he'd done it in the worst way imaginable. By humiliating her, as well as shattering her illusions about himself, he could only guess what it felt like to be led on so far, to expose yourself so much to another person, only to find out that person wasn't who you thought he was. He'd been selfish and cruel. He'd let his body rule his mind. That's what he'd done. He was no better than any other man who took what he wanted from a woman without regard to her feelings. She had every right to throw him out of her life now. Except he didn't want that. If there was any way he could repair the damage he'd done, he would do it. If nothing else, he wanted to ensure that Lois got over the hurt he'd inflicted on her. Anything else was secondary to that, even his own happiness. Pulling on his T-shirt and fastening himself up again, he wondered morosely how he could start to put things right. It was obvious from the way she'd scrambled away from him that she didn't want him anywhere near her. But he wasn't sure if he could stop himself from wanting to comfort her if she was still crying when he went back into the lounge. It had been hard enough sitting on the sofa before, listening to her sob and trying not to embarrass her by looking at her. All he'd wanted to do was gather her up in his arms and soothe away the hurt he had caused her. Things had been going so well, sort of, until he ruined everything. Their crazy antics had allowed him to show her that Superman had a more human side, broken down her awkwardness with him so that she was treating him as an equal and not some sort of untouchable higher being. In retrospect, he realized that he had been trying to show her that Superman wasn't so different to Clark, and that the logical next step would have been to tell her that they were actually the same person. If only he hadn't left things so long, then it might even have worked. He could have gradually let more of his true self show until the similarities became more and more obvious, and then he could have given her the news gently, not bludgeoned her with it when she was at her most vulnerable. At least she hadn't actively told him to leave her alone. Did that mean anything, or did it just mean she didn't care one way or the other? No, he couldn't imagine Lois not caring about whether the man she'd just been so intimate with stayed or went. More likely, he'd confused her so much with his revelation that she didn't know what she wanted. Well, one thing he could do was to try and help her overcome that confusion, explain who he really was, and perhaps why he'd behaved so badly. He wasn't under any illusions about receiving forgiveness from her, but at least he could give her the honest truth. She deserved that. He drew in a deep breath, reached for his spare pair of glasses, and walked back into the living room. Now that she'd calmed down, Lois was starting to worry a little about her partner. During her initial reaction to his revelation, she'd been unable to see past what she perceived as her own humiliation. Now she remembered the pain in his voice when he'd asked her whether she wanted him to leave. He had apologized as well for letting things go so far without telling her. That told her. What did it tell her? That he was hurting as much as she was, possibly more. That maybe the reason he hadn't told her sooner was because he'd wanted what they were doing as much as she had. And if he had, then maybe it wasn't such a disaster after all. Except that she'd been making love with Superman, or so she'd thought. Instead, she'd found out that Superman didn't exist. But that still left Clark, and despite everything that had just transpired, Clark was her friend, her partner, her best friend, and someone she cared about. She needed him in her life, and if this had hurt him as much as she suspected, then they needed to talk. She heard a movement and looked up to see Clark re-entering the room. He was now wearing his glasses and looked much more like himself. That was reassuring, in a way, since she'd begun to berate herself for not noticing the similarities between what she'd thought were two men. He looked unsure of himself, as if afraid she'd tell him to go away again, and she grimaced. Had she hurt him that much by her apparent rejection? She thought back to what she'd said and realized that the harm was probably as much in what she hadn't said. She hadn't stopped him leaving. She'd snapped at him. She'd refused to meet his gaze. Deliberately, therefore, she raised her head and stared straight at him. He reached the dividing wall between living room and kitchen and stopped, keeping his distance, then turned apologetic brown eyes to her. It was up to her to make the first move. "Who are you, Clark?" she asked him quietly. He blinked a little at the calm tone of her voice. Clearly, he'd expected anger or tears. "I'm Clark, Lois. I only put on the suit as a disguise, so that I can use my powers to help people and still lead a normal life." She assimilated this, then nodded. "Okay. So you're really from Krypton?" It was his turn to nod. "Yeah. Don't ask me how or why. I really don't know." His mouth turned down at the corners. "You said a few times that you want that definitive Superman interview. Who am I? Why am I here? Well, now you know why I never gave it to you. I wouldn't have known what to say." He didn't know? Lois was appalled. He was, what, 28? And he had no idea why he'd ended up on Earth when he was originally from Krypton. And it occurred to her suddenly that if Superman was Clark, then he had to have been on Earth for almost all of his life. She'd seen baby pictures of him, for heaven's sake. A flash of memory came back to her, and she remembered Clark's strange empathy with the plight of adoptive children seeking their natural parents. No wonder. An impulse led her to extend a hand in his direction. She saw him blink again in surprise, but he accepted the unspoken invitation and came closer. He still seemed to hesitate, however, so she gestured in the direction of the couch. He sat awkwardly, gazing down at his hands. "Tell me something, Clark. Why did you decide to let me think you were Superman rather than Clark outside?" To her amazement, he blushed. Well, apart from the fact I was standing in the middle of a creator I just created myself, it was a pretty embarrassing situation, Lois, he stammered. I guess I thought I could cope better with you thinking that you'd seen Superman naked, rather than Clark. I mean, the thought of turning up to the planet tomorrow and having you laugh at me. Laugh? She stared at him incredulously. Why would I laugh, Clark? Am I really that mean a person? He shook his head emphatically. No, Lois, no, you're not. I just meant, well, I just felt at a heck of a disadvantage. You know what they say, if you want not to be intimidated by someone, just visualize them naked. Lois suddenly saw what he was getting at. He thought she'd be laughing at the sight of his naked body. If he only knew. Clark, I wouldn't have been laughing at you, she assured him softly. Hasn't anyone told you how? Well, I mean, you're pretty easy on the eye, she finished. Oh. That seemed to embarrass him, too, and he changed the subject. Lois, I should apologize for not telling you sooner. I suppose I always wanted to tell you the truth one day, but I never expected this to happen. And when you told me you loved me and seemed to want me, well, it was just a dream come true. His voice was hesitant, awkward. But there was something not quite right about his explanation. Lois struggled to work out what it was. Yes, that was it. Clark, I told Superman I loved him. He shook his head, the gesture almost one of defeat, though she couldn't understand why. I'm Superman, Lois. You told me that you loved me. No, that still wasn't right. She frowned. But I don't love you. I love Superman. I've loved him for months, and I finally got to tell him today. To her annoyance, her eyes began to blur again as tears threatened to spill once more. Despite her own sorry state, she couldn't help noticing the pained expression which crossed his face. "You don't love me?" he whispered. "No," she answered immediately, not stopping to think about the logic of her answer. But there was something not quite right about that either, and she couldn't figure it out this time. "Oh, Lois, what have I done? I've been so selfish, letting my feelings for you take control, pretending everything would be all right because I loved you, and now I've made you cry, and that's the last thing in the world I'd want to do. I've ruined everything," he finished sadly. She scrubbed impatiently at her eyes, not wanting to cry again. "It was all so nice, so beautifully, beautifully nice, thinking you loved me and knowing I loved you. We'd had such a crazy time together, you in that dress and me thinking you were gay, and then you started to show me a whole different side to yourself. You were so approachable, and it just felt so right, you know?" "I know. I felt it, too." "You did?" "Yes." She dashed the tears from her eyes again and stared down at him, something he'd said suddenly registering in her head. You felt it. You, Superman. He nodded. "Me. Superman. Clark." That was it. That was what hadn't seemed right about her earlier denial. This man was Superman, and he was also Clark. She raised her gaze to him again, seeming to see the chocolate brown eyes for the first time since Clark had rejoined her, those same eyes which had gazed at her earlier with desire and love. "You love me?" He nodded. "Yes, Lois. Clark Kent loves you, Lois Lane." He flicked his eyes away before coming back to look at her. The naked pain in his gaze made her heart wrench. "But I should probably never have told you that. I'm being selfish again." "I don't think you are," she replied slowly, as things gradually began to fall into place. "I think you're just being honest, and that's probably what love is all about." "Yes, but it's not fair to you if I tell you I love you when you don't feel the same way about me." "That would be true if I didn't." "Didn't what?" "Didn't love you." "But maybe I do." She brushed away the rest of her tears and sat up a little straighter, feeling a new sense of purpose now that everything had become clear to her. "I've always known I loved Superman, and I came here to talk to you about how much I cared for you." His eyes went wide at her admission at last of what her original purpose had been in visiting him today. "Yes," she affirmed. "But I was kidding myself, really. I couldn't allow myself to love two men, so I had to choose one of you at a time. Now I know you're you, it's easy." "It is?" "Yes. I love you, Clark Kent. She leaned towards him and kissed him softly. I've always loved you, but I just didn't realize it until you helped me see it. And I love you, Superman. You just distracted me by flying around in that suit, you know. Lois, he whispered with a catch in his throat. Shh. She put a gentle hand on either side of his head and kissed him again. Her kiss changed to a smile against his lips when his hand came up to play in her hair. The dream was real again. And if it was real, she deepened the kiss, sliding her tongue forward to tease the corner of his mouth. His lips instantly parted, allowing her access, and she took immediate advantage of the opportunity. In a sudden movement, he lifted her off the armchair and brought her to sit on his lap on the couch again, wrapping his arms tightly around her as if he never intended to let her go. She made full use of the opportunity this afforded her to run her fingers through his thick, dark hair again. Then, as her fingers dislodged his glasses, she grabbed hold of them and discarded them. His hands were warm on her back, through her blouse, and she suddenly ached to feel them on her skin again. Her body was reminding her that it had just been disappointed, frustrated by the earlier interruption, and as she adjusted her position on Clark's lap, she became suddenly gleefully aware that he was experiencing precisely the same reaction as she was. One problem still remained, however. Clark? Yes? If this is going where I think it's going, and please don't think I'm being presumptuous here, it's just I'm not sure I could stand the interruption a second time around. We still have that other problem to solve. She watched as his face went from puzzlement to comprehension, accompanied by an endearing pink flush. Oh, right, do you want me to? She smiled. Better now than later. Right, I'll just go and buy some then. She transferred back to the sofa cushions so that he could stand up. Of course, he'd change into Superman to fly to the drugstore, she suddenly realized. Do you want me to turn my back while you get changed? Silly question, really, in the light of where he was going and why, but still. It was his turn to smile broadly. No need. She stared, transfixed, watching his image blur before her eyes, his fast spin turning him into a column of swirling colors. Then he was slowing down to a stop, and Superman was in front of her with a beaming grin on his face. That's the first time I've tried that with an audience. Came out pretty well, huh? I'd say it did, she replied, stunned by his blatant and thrilling use of superpowers in front of her. Yep, definitely worked for me. I'll be back soon. Make yourself at home. With a whoosh of air, he was gone. Lois stared at the spot he'd been occupying, still marveling at this new person who was revealed to her now that he'd dropped his disguise. Was that disguise or disguises? Was Clark Kent, reporter for the Daily Planet and the son of a farming family in Kansas, the real person any more than Superman was? Or was there another person who was neither of those two men, but a wonderful combination of the two? It seemed to her that what she had glimpsed just now was a third person, an ordinary man with extraordinary abilities, who, at the age of 28, still didn't even know his true origins or how he'd come to be on this planet. She wondered if that was why he was still a virgin. Did the uncertainty about what and who he was make him hesitate to cross the final intimacy threshold with a woman? Perhaps he was even scared about how his body might or might not react, whether it even worked the same as anyone else's. Of course, he must have experimented on his own, she reasoned, so he must have a pretty good idea how he reacted. She swallowed a little nervously. This was a heady responsibility she was taking on, leading a man such as he through his first sexual encounter, if they got that far. One thing was certain this time around, she wasn't going to push things forward as fast as she had the first time. If it happened, that would be just wonderful, but if it didn't happen, she was pretty sure this wouldn't be the last time they found themselves together like this. He'd better get back soon, before she thought too much about what she was doing here, and began to feel as nervous as he probably was already. As it was, she was beginning to feel as though she was sitting in a doctor's waiting room, rather than anticipating one of the most romantic moments in her life. Having to go out and buy them made it feel so cold and calculating. She suddenly found herself trying to visualize the act of purchase. Surely Clark wouldn't simply walk into the drugstore as Superman and buy a pack. Now, that would certainly be a story worthy of the front page of a tabloid newspaper, she thought, the bizarre side of her brain even drawing up the headlines it would produce. Better latex than never for Superman, perhaps? Or Mystery Woman drives Man of Steel hard. Pay and display. Or even condom over to my place, Superman. Lois blushed as she realized that not only would Superman be the subject of attention in that case, but there would be a massive hunt for Superman's girlfriend, her. Was that what she was? Superman's girlfriend? It was a title which only a short time ago would have been an impossible dream, yet now she thought she preferred to be Clark's girlfriend, if that was how he saw it, of course. They hadn't really talked about the future, just kissed and let their hormones get the better of them. But she just smiled then, remembering. They had exchanged vows of love. Lois knew she didn't make such declarations easily, and with her new knowledge of Clark, she was pretty sure he didn't either. Another whoosh, and he was walking across the room from the window. "Hi." "Hi, no problems?" she asked, feeling suddenly gauche and unsure of herself again in his presence. "No, no problem. I returned that dress to its rightful owner at the same time." He sat down gingerly on the sofa beside her and smiled shyly at her. "This is awkward, isn't it?" "Yes." He eased a cautious arm around her shoulders. "Maybe we should just take things nice and slowly, not force it." "Just what I was thinking." She looked down at his blue spandex-covered legs and put a hand on his knee. "It would be a whole lot easier for me if you weren't wearing this, though." She listened to what she just said and hurriedly dived in again. "I mean, if you were in your usual clothes." He smiled gently at her slip. "Sure, Lois." She stared once more at the blur of blue and red, which this time became Clark in his jeans and black T-shirt. "It might take me a while to get used to that." "Well, I have to tell you, it took me a few tries to get it right. The first time I nearly broke a window, and one of my neighbors gained an extra pair of men's jeans." Lois laughed. "Just as well it was only your jeans and not..." Her traitorous eyes flicked downward briefly. "Something else." "Lois, I keep them on," he replied with a straight face. "Of course you do," she agreed with an equally straight face. He came back to the sofa. "Talking of clothes, you want to know what my mom said when she made the suit for me?"
"What?"
"She said the disguise was sure to work because people certainly wouldn't be looking at my face." "She didn't." "Mom's not one to mince words."
"I like your mom."
"Yeah, look, do you want another cup of coffee or something? I've got a new blend I picked up the other day you'll probably like." Before she could answer, he was already up and heading for the kitchen. She sighed. This seemed to be heading in completely the wrong direction, despite the fact that she was pretty sure they both wanted something entirely different. Still, she had promised herself she wouldn't force things, so... Sure, since that he was already pulling out the coffee things, she might as well find out how he did this. Would he use his superpowers? "Can I help?" she asked, following him into the kitchen. He was staring intently into a jug of cold water, which to her amazement slowly started to steam and boil. "I mean, I can't do that, but where's the milk?" He looked up at her, pushing his glasses back into place quickly with his index finger. "Where most people keep it," he replied with amusement, indicating the fridge with his eyes. "Well, how was I to know you didn't do something superpowered with it?" She crossed to the fridge, located the carton, and placed it on the counter near where he was working. So near she could smell his cologne. It was nice, whatever it was. Not heady or musky, just kind of clean-smelling.
"Like what, Lois?"
She blinked, his voice breaking her spell. "I don't know. Mugs?" "Above the sink." She retrieved two and brought them over for him. This was crazy. She wanted to jump all over him, but it was as if there was some invisible force stopping her. He glanced over to her. "Thanks."
"Clark?"
"We should let this steep for a few minutes."
"What?"
He looked over at her again, and this time she caught his gaze and held it. Suddenly she was in his arms, locked together with him in a tight embrace, her lips sealed against his in an unfettered display of raw passion. She felt his tongue seek an entrance, and willing, she let him in, meeting his tongue with her own, then playing with him, savoring the sensuous feel of his flesh inside her own. Any resolve to take things slowly flew out of the window, and she yanked his T-shirt free from his jeans to slide her hand up his sides, taking the material with her as she went. With a soft pull, he finished the job for her, then arched his back with a soft hiss, pushing his chest forward into her hands as she let them roam over the smooth planes of his pectoral muscles. His body was so firm and strong, yet so soft at the same time. A rush of air and a split-second blur of something around her made her gasp. Before she could recover, his hands were stroking over her bare shoulders and down over her arms while he drowned her in more of his wonderful kisses. She moaned softly into his mouth, and abruptly he stopped. I wasn't too fast for you, was I? He asked hesitantly, gazing down at her with those wide, concerned eyes of his. Clark, that wasn't a moan of protest, you know. Oh. You might hear one soon, though, if you don't get going again soon. Obviously, he didn't need much encouragement, for he immediately began a pattern of kisses down the side of her neck, over her collarbone, nuzzling in the nape of her neck for a time, tickling her with the tip of his tongue, caressing her with a feather-light touch of his lips. It was her turn to arch herself forward to his mouth. He might be inexperienced, but he was pretty darn good at this, she decided. He was also taking more of the initiative, she noticed, his hands traversing her body with gentle caresses, reaching for intimate and secret places which had her grabbing onto his shoulders for support as her legs began to tremble from the reaction. Once again he stopped and straightened up to face her. Too much? She felt like screaming. Clark, you've got to stop doing that. What? He asked with a worried expression. Stopping! She lunged forward to kiss him fiercely, at the same time returning his daring caresses with a few of her own, evincing a gasp of shocked pleasure from him. Happy with the effect she had on him, she decided it was time to get rid of a few more barriers, except his hands were stopping her. Clark? No, bedroom, he said breathlessly. Oh, okay, but make it quick. Oh, she sounded almost desperate. Belatedly, she wondered what he'd thought of her behavior. She knew he was a virgin, but she'd never given him any real indication of her sexual history, apart from telling him about Claude. Was he assuming, given her sheer, passionate eagerness with him, that she was very experienced? How could she tell him that actually she'd only ever made love with two men before, and neither had been especially memorable? That there was something just so right about this, that when he kissed her nothing mattered any more but getting closer to him, needing him to keep kissing her and touching her and never stop. Before she could make a move, he gathered her up in his arms. The room became a blur, and then she was lying on his bed beside him. No sooner had she registered her new surroundings than he was swooping down to kiss her again, playing through her hair with one hand, while running the other over the curves of her body, exploring her, seemingly learning her shape, coming back up to her neck, then down along her arm, until he found her hand, and twined his fingers around hers. His hand had given her a warm glow of suffuse electricity wherever it had traveled over her. Now his clasp over her hand was oddly comforting in this wash of new and exciting touch sensations. His mouth abandoned hers so that he could look down at her with a quirky smile. Quick enough for you? So many questions. Impatiently, she pulled his head back down to enjoy his lips again. Talking was vastly overrated. Lips were for kissing, especially when the kisser was as good as he was. Freeing her hand from his, she reached across to resume her intimate caresses, and it wasn't long before their passion overcame them, and the last of their clothes lay abandoned in a messy pile by the side of the bed. Too fast, Clark whispered into the warm electric darkness. She stopped, and he opened his eyes onto a smiling Lois. I forgot, you're kinda new at this. Yeah, sorry. Yes, he was. And she wasn't. Would that matter? He hoped he wouldn't disgrace himself. This was just too important. Hey, don't apologize. I only forgot because you're so good. He caught his breath at her words, not doubting her sincerity for a moment. Maybe I should. He reached behind to the ledge above the bed, showing her the small cellophane-wrapped box. Good idea. Suddenly he was all fingers and thumbs, his trembling fingers making the task of opening the box nearly impossible. Here, she said, taking the box from him, let me. He watched while she deftly unwrapped the box, ripped open a packet, and pulled out the condom. There you go. Want me to do the honors? He nodded dumbly, the emotion of the moment too strong for words, and moments later, Clark's world opened up into a whole new realm of experience and generous love. Lois showed him how to love and be loved. She showed him what was important in love and what wasn't. And most of all, she showed him just who she loved with her body and her words. "Wait," she whispered, reaching up to his face to lift his glasses gently off. "Now I can see you properly." His heart did a flip, and for a long time after there was nothing but heat and excitement, mutual sharing and deep, searing emotion. He had expected to be overwhelmed physically, but nothing could have prepared him for the waves of love and passion which overcame him during these most intimate and special moments. God, how he loved this woman! No one else could possibly make him feel like this. He was absolutely sure of that. How completely his life had changed in a couple of short hours. His battles with the nightfall asteroid paled into insignificance beside the lightning shock of discovering that Lois loved him after all, and that suddenly it had been easy to tell her his secret, and how different things would be from now on. She would cover for him at work when he needed to go and be super. And she would be there, he hoped, when he returned home tired and in need of comfort after a difficult rescue. She would be there, in his bed, to love him and hold him and simply be with him, as he would be with her. He bent down to kiss his love, his partner, his friend, and quite probably his soulmate. The end. This has been a Lois and Clark fanfic recording. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman and Related Characters, are copyrighted by Time Warner Incorporated. Some situations and dialogue may have been borrowed from the show. No copyright infringement is intended. Authors and readers receive no monetary benefit from their work. For more information and to see and hear other stories, please visit lcfanfic.com.